It's the Loftus Party European Year in Review. Yo, what's up, my dogs? So what we're doing is recording this like right before New Year's because everybody's going to go out and party and they're going to be crazy and they're going to be tired and we're going to be in no mood to do this. So we're doing it now because we are movers and we're shakers and we're thinkers. So I love it. So this is our big year in review show. I want to talk about the big moments from 2017. I want to talk about things we're looking forward to in 2018, moments from interviews that we did for the TV show and for the YouTube channel, and moments from the podcast that cracked us up. Just fun. Just let's just look back with a big smile on our face. And I will start off with this. Our numbers were great. You look back at the year, the website's doing awesome. And that's just 2018. You guys, you have not seen anything yet. It's going to get better and better and better. However, the subscriptions to the YouTube channel are way up. The views are up. The Facebook page way up. I love to see it. I love to see it all coming together. So first and foremost, I want to thank everybody and for supporting the channel, the Loftus Party, the website, all of it. I want to thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You guys are doing great. I could not ask for anything more. So now we just have to create fun content and share it. Yeah.
Yes. And
absolutely. Go ahead. Yeah.
Not only is this our New Year's show, it's also the 100th podcast.
That is a huge number.
It is.
That is I always tell this to my family and whatever, like you can't think about chopping down the big giant tree. You can't think about digging a hole through a mountain. You just pick up your little axe or your little shovel and you start digging. And then all of a sudden, one day you're like, wow, episode 100. And here's the other great thing to that. Like episode 100 is huge. That's about 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm. 2 years of fun and funk on a Sunday afternoon.
And the numbers are growing. It's like it's not, and I'm not even kidding. I would be bummed out, and I would tell it, and I would totally like wrap myself up in a blanket of my own tears, if like things were getting bad.
But they're not. That's
the wonderful thing.
Yeah,
that's what I love about it. And we're gonna do more interviews in the future. I've always said this. I said this from episode one, and I'll say it again at episode 100. We're figuring it out as we go along, and what we were doing a couple weeks ago, and we'll get back to doing that. I didn't realize how many people would say yes to being on the podcast.
Really?
You know, like, yeah, I really didn't. I really don't. Like, if, like, Michael Steele, that's a huge get. Other guests that we've had, I always go to Michael Steele because that just seems so legit. seems like a legit guy. But we're going to do more of that in the future.
Serious.
It does. I'm not just some goofball comedian that hangs out every week for an hour. So we're going to do more of that. I want to do more clips, and it we'll have more fun. However, I'm buddies with, and this is very funny, and this is for other people who I know. We have listeners who do other podcasts, and I've listened to them and I've checked them out, and I'm blanking on the names of some of them now. Dangerous Thinkers. I want to say Dangerous Thinkers or Dangerous Minds. There's a woman who does that. She's fantastic. Oh my gosh. And there's another girl who does one. However, I'm buddies with the guy who manages Joe Rogan. And Joe has an insanely successful podcast. Insanely
yep.
successful. And this dude, his manager looked at me, 6 or 7 months ago. And mm-hmm. he goes, it'll take 5 years. It takes 5 years. And that's when you see the huge ba-boom. If you can do it for 5 years. And he was like completely stone cold, straight up, just spewing honesty. So two down, three to go.
Let's try to cut that in half just to see if we can.
I'm down for that. I dig a race. How about we do it by episode 101?
That would be great. That would be awesome. Yeah.
And I want to say something else here, just for the listeners, the gentle listeners. I want to remind myself to call them the gentle listeners. We could put ads on here right now. Mm-hmm. We could be like ruining your podcast experience by throwing up ads. But like, we're not going to do that until it's worth our while. And I mean, in a rewarding, like, it's a product we believe in. That's how I want to do it.
The like wonderful thing about the internet. Like Zycam.
Those people hooked me up.
I know. You said you love them so much they should advertise on the podcast last week.
Right now, yep. I would run ads for Zycam. I would run ads for edible vitamin C.
There you go.
I would run ads for Folgers Coffee. I would run ads for Marlboro Lights.
Oh, God.
I would run ads for that kind of thing.
There you go. Because
they've affected my life. I would run ads for anybody who's been hypercritical of Disney and what they've done to Star Wars.
I saw that video. That was like your longest vlog yet.
Pure hate.
Oh, it was. It was
pure,
just
pure venom. Pure venom. And that video is doing very well.
Yeah, and you know, I agree with everything you said. Everything.
Yes.
But I still can't get angry.
Well, here's the thing, and I don't want to. We're starting the show from an honest place, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you guys right now. I saw the movie Star Wars: A New Hope when I was a very, very, very little kid, mm-hmm. and it blew my mind. It's one of those moments where something clicked in my little brain. And when you go to New Hope and then you go to Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi and all that stuff, and you look at, George Lucas was good friends with Joseph Campbell. Joseph Campbell, who wrote The Hero's Journey, Myths to Live By. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, my goodness, Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi, it's the same relationship that Merlin has with King Arthur. Mm-hmm. And it's the same relationship that, you know, it goes back to Greek mythology. These are timeless stories. It's the same relationship that Frodo Baggins had with Gandalf the Grey. It's the same. It's these epic storylines. And that is why it works. Great care went into that. And to see someone take something wonderful and start to squander it is heartbreaking. And the fans I love it that there's a petition to have this film, The Last Jedi, thrown out of the Star Wars universe as canon. And I agree. I totally agree. And, you know, and the other ones, and I'll say this, the Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and all that, the prequels, mm-hmm. at least those stories made sense. You can bitch about the execution of them and the poor direction and the actors' choices and why didn't George Lucas have him do it again and whatever. The stories made sense. You have now what they say, you've jumped the shark. You have gone off the rails. It was insulting to people who love these movies. It's insulting.
Yeah, I remember the first time I saw New Hope was in the drive-in.
Love it.
When I was about 5.
Nice.
And I remember when it first came on HBO, which was like 5 years later, because that's how long it used to take to like hit a, you know, movie service or whatever. My brother and I literally watched it every day for like a month and a half. And by the mm-hmm. time it was over, we could like act the whole thing out.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's where I was too.
Mm-hmm.
I went through two rounds of it. I had my buddy Sean and I, Sean Kellison, we would walk to the movie theater. I would spend my paper route money. You know, go to see it like every Saturday. Just go, boom, boom. Then years later, my sister, I'm the youngest of 5 kids. One of my older sisters worked at a movie theater that was even closer. It was like a second run theater. Mm-hmm. They would show like – because because cable hadn't been invented yet.
Right.
And they had Star Wars there. And I could literally just walk. If my sister was working there, I could just walk to the theater, poke my head in, see what part they were at, watch that scene, and then walk out. It was fantastic.
And then I remember, too, when Return of the Jedi came out, one of the theaters near us actually ran the whole trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
And in an event. And that was great.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Here's – and then – and this is the classic mistake that filmmakers make. They're in a point now where George Lucas is no longer involved.
Mm-hmm.
And they know – they being
whoever.
Disney and the shareholders, whatever, they think they know more about the Force than George Lucas does. And when you have people
– fans.
Oh, my gosh. Mm. When Princess Leia is floating around in outer space, just dead as a doornail, and all of a sudden her eyes open up and the Force somehow – keeps her eyeballs from exploding in the vacuum of space and then whips around like a frozen popsicle. And that's where I'm out. I wanted to scream.
Well, because given the real life status, and I did agree with your rant here, given the real life status of things, that would have been an excellent way to exit the character. And you still had the emotional portion of Kylo Ren not actually pulling the trigger that killed his mother. Somebody else did it to her. You know, all of that would have fit together very well, being that Carrie Fisher's no longer with us.
It would have been beautiful.
Yep.
And then with her passing, you would have needed Laura Dern's character. She mm-hmm. would have actually had something interesting to do. Meantime, you're watching Princess Leia. You're going back to watch her thaw out. That was ridiculous.
That's when you just shut down. Shut down.
Oh,
said, I'm done.
Literally, I was ready to laugh out loud at certain points. I just – it's bad. It ain't good. And now I'm seriously worried about the Han Solo movie.
Oh, yeah. And see, you know this. He is my favorite, my absolute favorite character in that series. And if that's bad, ooh, I'm going to be really upset. I mean, the logo is terrible.
Something happened where they had to bring Ron Howard in. That never bodes well.
Yeah, but Ron Howard, I think, would at least pay homage to the canon and try. I think he's gonna get it a little better.
Maybe, you know what, maybe he will come in and save it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like something really, really bad was happening where Disney was like, we better get someone in here who can save it. So,
well, and that is one of the things I'm looking forward to in 2018. So I hope it doesn't let me down.
Yes.
Yes.
It's one of the things that I'm looking forward to as well. Or I was about 2 weeks ago.
Now you're just scared.
Now I'm like a head shy puppy waiting for someone to smack me in the nose with a newspaper.
But you know where you won't get smacked in the nose?
Where?
Infinity War.
And it's going to be boring. It's going to be boring.
No.
But it not Infinity War.
Oh.
I'm saying to the people who are listening, because we've railed on this before, there's a way to do things right and you care. And you're a perfectionist and you deeply love the characters, and that's the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Love it.
That's how you do it right. Then there's the way to do things wrong. That's DC. I still haven't, I tell you what, I haven't seen Justice League yet. Because I literally, and this is how I am as a giant fan, I don't want to see it. If I see it, then it's real. If I see it and I see them totally screw the pooch, then you have to like accept reality. So I'm waiting for Blu-ray.
It wasn't awful. It wasn't really good either.
No.
And they think it's just very, you know, first of all, like Bitter Batman is just not Batman to me.
Well, Bitter Batman is the Bitter Batman.
That's I swear, like his
it
face
sounds like,
through
sounds
the
like
whole
he's from
thing.
Israel. I'm Bitter Batman.
No,
hello.
No,
I'm Bitter Batman.
No, like just he even in the costume, he just looked downtrodden, old, and beaten.
That see now you're singing my tune.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Batman was kind of not doing so well as a franchise in the late 1970s, early 1980s.
Right. That was all Superman.
Superman was having his heyday because Richard Donner, the director, loved Superman. They offered Richard Donner to direct Superman. You Will Believe a Man Can Fly, Christopher Reeves. Richard Donner turned it down. He's like, no, thank you. He's driving home. He's going down Sunset Boulevard or the PCH. And then it dawns on him. He's like, someone else will say yes. Someone will say yes and direct to someone who doesn't love Superman as much as I do. I don't know how I'm going to do this movie. We don't have the special effects, but I'm going to save Superman from these corporate suits who will ruin it. And that's why the first Superman was so good. Because Richard Donner deeply, deeply loves Superman. Mm-hmm. It's the best one ever with Lex Luthor. But Lex, my mom lives in Hoboken. And then he just looks at his watch and shakes his head because she's going to get nuked. It's hilarious. So now you have people who don't love the characters in charge. Okay, so it's 1980-something, and this guy, Frank Miller, who's a legend in the comic book world, makes this beautiful comic book, The Dark Knight Returns, which is Batman. It's Bruce Wayne. He's in his 50s. He's no longer Batman. All the superheroes have been forced to quit. If not, Superman will end their lives. And so Batman is a heavy drinking, bitter. So that's what they're trying to do with Ben Affleck. And if you look at the character, you look at Ben Affleck, you look at the costume, that all works. Where they go off the rails is when this bitter, old, drunk, kind of has-been superhero who's now trying to get it back together for one last hurrah. You know, I'm putting together a team. Hey, Flash, you want to join my team? Hey, Wonder Woman. No, Batman's not the big organizer. That doesn't So anyway, you get
well,
the basic
dynamics.
Well, I can
tell you what kind of happens there because he's the initial organizer, but that doesn't really stick.
And they rushed it. They didn't take their time like they did with Infinity Wars.
No.
I love how they had a big overarching plan to, okay, this will happen, then that movie, then this will be a freestanding, but it's all kind of building towards these Infinity Stones, and it's going to be wonderful. Okay, we have totally geeked out. I love it. That was a good, solid 15-minute geek fest,
and
I could keep going.
So could I, looking so forward to season 3 of Stranger Things. Oh my God, I just love
that series. Is it
going
to be weird
to
watch those kids grow up, though? I haven't seen season 2.
Oh my God, I loved it.
I haven't seen season 2 of Stranger Things. I haven't seen The Punisher. We're living in the golden age of television and movies, and I'm having a hard time
keeping up.
Yes.
Are you going to go see The Black Panther?
Oh, you know it.
Okay. It looks
you
beautiful.
Know it.
It looks beautiful.
Great. It looks really great. Mm-hmm. It looks really great. And then you don't have to whatever. It's going to be that's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. But okay. So, here's what we want to do. This is actually perfect. That'd be like our first segment. If we were doing this in hunks, gentle listeners, this is where a crappy commercial would go, but we're not doing that to you cuz we love you so damn much.
For that 1-800 number you could call to get your taxes resolved.
Oh gosh, Joe's towing,
right?
Some crap like that. Okay, so this is what I did a little vlog about it last week, and it really struck me. I thought, okay, I want to do the interesting thing. I want to do the fun thing that no one else is doing. Did you see the article in the Washington Times?
Yes, and you were the only happy one in it.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you don't know, I was interviewed by the Washington Times with a couple of other people, and the storyline, and this is very interesting because the same thing happened to me when I was on Fox Business.
Mm-hmm.
There's this storyline that people want to perpetuate, and I don't want it to be true, and it hasn't been true so far, so I can't really speak to it. Where if you come out as a conservative comedian, your career is over. Your career is over. And I just don't believe that. And I think that people are better than that. And I'm a comedian first and I'm political second, yada, yada, yada. So the guy who interviewed me from the Times was a great dude. And he, is there anything you want to promote? Yeah. Loftusparty.com. Not one mention. I don't think.
Yeah, but like, here's the other thing too, right? Like, you're not a quote unquote conservative comedian. You're like a freedom loving, live and let live, get the government out of my life kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? There's not a lot of social conservatism on this show.
Well, that's – I mean that's where – and remember we were talking about that a couple weeks ago. It's like we don't fit in.
Mm-mm.
We don't fit in. It's the island of misfit toys. So.
I actually saw the greatest tweet ever. I saw – somebody said – and I think it was Iowa Hawk Blog.
Yeah, that guy's good.
He's very good. And he put it more succinctly than I've ever been able to put it for myself. I'm too socially liberal for the GOP generally. I'm too limited government and fiscally conservative for the Democrats. And I believe in borders, so the libertarians don't want me. You know?
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, there's this huge issue with any one of the parties that I just don't fit in.
Yeah, and that's – so he's welcome aboard anytime. That dude is definitely invited to the Loftus Party barbecue.
Yep.
So this interview with the Washington Times, it's all gloom and doom, gloom and doom. And then at the end, I'm like – I'm more excited about this now than when I was a punk rocker in high school. But it's true. It like I get jazzed about it. I get so excited. It's stupid. I get like stupid puppy excited. So
now I just have this picture of punk rock Michael in my head.
Well, it was bad 80s. It was the late 80s. It was
I got you with a very Ramones look about you.
I wish we were that cool. It was more – remember that song, The Romantics? What I Like About You?
Yeah.
It was more that.
Oh,
it
okay.
was more – it needed to be more Ramones. Mm-hmm. It needed to be more Clash. But we were like young kids. We were nervous. We would do these cover songs and originals, and we'd play them super fast. So it came across as punk. But we did well. So anyway, I didn't fit the mold of the – it's all gloom and doom. And then I wanted to do a vlog, which I did last week on Facebook and the YouTube channel. And it was like things that went right in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And I was making the list. I was just struck by it's going well.
Oh, yeah.
The Trump presidency is going insanely well. And I'm just looking at my list, just the regulations that he's cut.
Yep.
You know, to unleash small businesses.
Well, and not only that he's cut, but they've actually pulled 600 and some odd proposed regulations out of consideration.
It's fantastic.
I love it.
And the lower courts, mm-hmm. just appointing a boatload of judges to the lower courts. And that one, I've had scenes of people like the New York Times. They're starting to become aware of that. They're like, whoa, 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 what's up? What's up with this?
So, what's up with this? So he's got a record number of judges. Oh, no.
And then you throw in – it's really, really wonderful. Then you throw in Gorsuch on the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. The travel ban sticking. Mm-hmm. ISIS has lost 94, 98% of its territory.
Mm-hmm.
Then you throw in the tax cuts – and getting us out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, it's been a huge year.
No, very good year.
And I think it's going to be a boon, a giant boon to small businesses, to individuals. I really think I'm super excited for 2018.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. I'm just wildly entertained by the blue state governors trying to figure out a way for the folks who won't get a tax break because they pay such high state tax in their deep blue state. There's a limit on what you're going to be able to claim against that.
Yeah.
Trying to get people to pay their taxes in advance this year and all these – oh, trying to shift those taxes to employer and payroll taxes so they're not personal taxes. I mean, they are trying to come up with every way around this so that their high tax nanny state can stay intact, and I'm just laughing.
That is the wonderful thing. And if mm-hmm. if I had to make a comparison, the Trump administration, the wonderful thing about it is it's like shining a light. People are going to be forced to look at their taxes now. Your money, if you live in California and if you live in New York, your tax dollars are being wasted. They're being wasted on an epic level. Mm-hmm. And now people are going to have to look at that. Did you see the article in the New York Times yesterday about the most expensive tunnel ever made in the history of mankind?
Oh, yeah. That was insane. And a lot of it was union driven, too.
Yes, but that's the classic example. And how bad is the waste when the New York Times is like, this is bad.
Actually going to call it out. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, the other thing that just came out is Illinois is another really high tax blue state. They're losing people in droves. My fear is I live in a nice red state. Right? In 2018, I don't want a bunch of those people moving here and voting for the same crap they just left.
Well, that is the big concern. And that is the wonderful thing about what we're trying to do. I don't see anybody else trying to be a magnet to draw more people to the island of misfit toys that is the current right-leaning political – I don't even know what to call us, however. But what happens is, and it's classic – people move to California, they move to New York, they vote Democrat, like, oh yeah, I can take another dollar here, another dollar there. They slowly ruin that state and then they leave. And then they go to a state like Georgia or they go to Texas, you know, or North Carolina.
Yep.
Yes, where it's working. And then they go, you know what, we should start, you know, getting in more Democrats in charge. And I could do another dollar here. I could do another 50 cents there. And then they slowly ruin that state.
It's like, we just
need more people.
What did you not learn?
It's crazy.
I know.
And if it wasn't happening before our very eyes, mm-hmm. it would be laughable. But we just straight up need more people and to be aware of it and to point it out. Mm-hmm. But it'll happen. It'll unless things change. It will happen. But yeah, if I was in Texas, I'd be a nervous Nelly.
Well, and the really scary part is, you know, California's homelessness. Let me try that again. People who don't have a place to live. Increase in homelessness there is driving the entire national increase.
You know what else just made a little guest starring appearance in California?
What?
The plague.
What?
The plague.
Like the bubonic plague?
Yep. And here's a fun one for your throwback Thursday. Leprosy.
What?
Yep.
In California?
Yes. People, they're from out of town, let's say.
Out of town.
They're from other countries, mm-hmm. and you realize you've got a little problem, so you come to America. So leprosy and the plague, two things that we thought were just all done for, just all gone.
Well, here's something Governor Moonbeam doesn't need to do again next year, nor does Governor Cuomo. You don't need to pardon a bunch of illegal immigrant criminals to stop them from being deported.
Yes. Yeah,
I saw California both is just bad. Like, oh my God. Really? Did you just do that? What goodwill did you just build yourself? I just don't understand the appeal on the Democratic side to say, I'm going to go all in for illegal immigrants, right? When every single day there's a story about illegal immigrant crime, the Department of Justice says 94% of immigrants in federal prisons are here illegally.
Well, that's the other great side effect. Mm-hmm. You have like that guy who shot, Kate Steinle?
Right.
And manslaughter, whatever, like no trouble for him. So it does present the narrative that, okay, the state of California cares more about the rights of an illegal than they do about their own citizens. And then once that conversation takes off, then logic just takes over. And it's irrefutable. You can't – I don't see how you can get around it. And we have to care about our own citizens first before we jump in. I had a really great point I was going to make, and it just flew out of my little brain pan so fast.
Wow.
But that's the other wonderful thing that's happened. You know, once you start talking about these issues, like it is the Trump presidency is like a pimple popper.
Yeah.
And now it's out in the open. And that's
it's
the other
nice,
wonderful
warm
thing.
Compress to bring everything to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also with the media. And I love how the Trump tweeting, I can't get enough of it. I love it. I love it. I love it. When he goes after the mainstream media with their straight up fabrications and the whole what ifs. Like MSNBC is completely based on what if. What if it's true? What if, hey, we have an unnamed sources that says Donald Trump wears a teacup on his head and dances around in women's underwear. What if that's true? What are the implications? Will this do the stock market? And then they're off to the races for like 3 days and there's never anything there. Nothing Uh-oh. Ever happens. But it's amazing how long they can keep the left just like whipped up into this froth just on, ooh, what if it is true? What could this mean? How would this affect the Supreme Court? Will teacup manufacturers be affected?
You know what they haven't covered at all in the last 48, 72 hours?
I have no idea.
The Iranian protests. Like literally, as of 10 o'clock this morning, there was nothing on MSNBC broadcast or print about these protests going on. Not a thing.
Now, let me ask you, and we'll talk about this for a little bit. I don't want to be like Mr. False Advertising. I do want to talk about some more about other things. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I guess this fits. This is one of the things we're looking forward to in 2018. Mm-hmm. In 2018, Peter Brady. what's going on in Iran right now as we record this, as we do this, this is what, day three?
I believe so, yes.
Which is an amazing development.
Mm-hmm. And it's getting bigger. It's spreading.
Boy, I hope so. I'm a nervous Nelly. It's like you really want a Christmas present and you look under the tree and there's a big box and you're like, ooh, that's probably it, but I'm afraid to look. It's like me in the Justice League. I don't want to look because then the reality will whack me. I want this to go well in Iran so bad.
Right.
Like Saudi Arabia has quietly been making moves and we've mm-hmm. talked about it on this show. And if you listen to this show, you know what we're talking about. Women don't have to wear the hijab. They can go out after dark. They can drive cars. Mm-hmm. There's a woman who runs the newspaper. They're making nice moves in Saudi Arabia. Nothing too – maybe you could make the argument they're going too fast. However, they're moving
or
towards the
slow.
21st century. Well, yeah. Listen, I'm just – and I say this to my wife all the time. I just need to know we're on the path.
Right.
I just need to know, and I always get nervous about big upheavals, like in Iran. Like I love that these people are protesting. I love that they want to enter the 21st century. They don't like living under like a theocracy. Mm-hmm. So I'm totally jazzed. I'm so excited for them. I wish I could help. Now here comes the question, because you brought it up. Why is CNN, why are the big news outlets not covering it?
Well, they're trying to make it an economic protest when it's not simply economic. So MSNBC has been mum. CNN has done some coverage. They've also covered the completely staged pro-government rallies that the current regime put on in Tehran. But if you go back to 1979, the speed with which that entire country was brought under this theocracy was just insane. I mean, I was going through and a young man, or I guess he'd be probably about my age, tweeted a picture of his mother.
Oh, I saw that.
Before the revolution and after the revolution. Beautiful
yeah.
woman, makeup on, in a nurse's uniform, and the next picture she's covered in a hijab.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, for people of that age who, I mean, I think you got two things going on and then some people in the middle who maybe aren't as polarized. But if you're a little bit older, right, you know what Iran was like before 1979.
Oh, you right? see pictures. We're kind of drifting mm-hmm. away from, I don't know why CNN and headline news, why would they not give it?
Because they were all in for the Iran deal. all in. If you go back to the coverage of the Iran deal and what it was supposed to accomplish, CNN was trying to put a bow on it. MSNBC was trying to shove it down your throat. You know, those were all the folks that Ben Rhodes talked about actively manipulating because their foreign correspondent staff are so young and gullible that they actually put false information out there about the deal, and the water carriers carried it forward to the American people.
And so, I just want to put this in as a little side note for our listeners. That's not like conspiracy theory talk. You can Google this. You can look.
Yep.
Ben Rhodes in an interview with the New York Times, and I couldn't believe it. He was literally talking about how easy it is to manipulate the media in this country.
Yeah,
and it is a shocker.
The most arrogant thing. Well, it shouldn't surprise me, right? I can't even read that man's timeline because it makes me so angry.
And to think that his brother runs CBS.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the things that spawned what we're doing. Yeah. But yeah, so you're saying it's just because it doesn't fit
the
narrative
previous,
of what they wanted.
And not only – think about how difficult this is going to be. So if you're the left, you're supposed to care about human rights and freedom and self-determination and quote-unquote democracy, right?
Yes.
I mean that's what they're supposed to stand for. How hard to swallow would it be if the theocracy is overthrown during the Trump administration with full American support?
Well, isn't this of those wonderful things?
Boom, 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 boom. Heads explode.
Isn't this the wonderful part about it? How everything has just been flipped?
Mm-hmm.
The party that's supposed to care about the little people and blah blah blah, it turns out that they kind of don't.
You have women over there whipping off their hijabs and swirling them around in the air and getting the crap beat out of them, and the Women's March says nothing.
Yep.
Hello.
Because it's not really about women's rights.
No.
In my opinion,
it's about abortion.
And how is the left? I know they're like with the tax reform thing that they're going to try to make it about the rich are getting richer and blah, blah, blah. However, as things improve, how do you defend your stance of we still need to take more of your money? We still need to take more of your money.
It's hilarious. They're calling it a tax gift now. This is like official narrative. This is cracking me up, and this is one of the things I'm going to enjoy watching them struggle with in 2018. They're calling it a tax gift and encouraging people to just give it back.
That's hilarious.
Oh my God, I literally cried laughing when I saw it. It's like, first of all, if I have extra money and I'm going to give, to charities and causes that I believe in and support. Because a lot of the things the government gives to, say Planned Parenthood, I don't believe in and support. I'm going to take my money and do my thing with it. I'm not giving it back to you people who spend it like crazy and don't get anything back for it.
Did you see that clip of the Disney girl? Her like grandfather was Roy Disney or whatever, and she did a little video clip for like BuzzFeed or something, talking about how my family's going to do very well from this. My family from the tax reform. My family, I'll be able to give that money tax free, and I'm going to make. You know, she was talking about how unfair it was, and I'm like, give it back,
please, by all
if
means.
You don't, seriously, if you're like a Warren Buffett type or the Disney heiress or someone else is like, this is crazy. The government's giving me all this money. Give it back.
Give it back.
You don't have to keep it. You can – or give it to me. Give it to me. I will put it to good use.
Please give it back. But as the average American family, I think, said on average across all brackets, it's going to boil down to about $200 a month. $200 a month for a lot of people is a week's worth of groceries or 2 weeks worth of groceries or a car payment. I mean,
it's 200 bucks a month you can put towards your retirement.
Exactly.
It's 200 bucks a month you could invest in something. It's 200 bucks a month. Maybe that's the 200 bucks you need to form your little private corporation or whatever. Maybe that's the money that's going to help you start your little dry cleaner on the corner.
Nobody is going to convince me that in my little LLC, 10% less in pass-through is not a good thing. Not going to convince me of that.
No. Okay. So here's what I want to do as we round the turn. This is another place where you're not listening to a janky little commercial, you guys. That's so cool.
We're pointing out everywhere the janky little commercial doesn't exist.
Okay. So we're
I'm sorry.
You have to celebrate what isn't there. You have to listen to the quiet spaces.
There you go.
Okay. So we're going to talk about some of the big events. We're just going to go speed round in here. Jimmy Kimmel getting so political. The state of late night comedy. Boom. Go. I think it's a complete and total joke.
I think it's just an extension of the Democratic Party.
It really is.
I mean, like, literally, Chuck Schumer hands his talking points to Jimmy Kimmel's writers.
And Kimmel goes out and cries about it. And, oh, look how brave. And then you've got Jimmy Fallon, who's trying to be cool, getting publicly shamed for being a hater.
And Taylor Swift.
Taylor. She had a good year. Have you heard any of the new music?
I heard a little bit of it, but what cracked me up again is she's getting slammed right and left and up and down because she never took a stance during the election. Well, Katy Perry did. And you know what? Taylor Swift kicked her ever living butt in record sales this year.
Yeah, and if we're taking sides, I'm Team Taylor and not Katy Perry. You know
that
what
was,
I saw?
That was the other thing we learned in 2017, Michael. It's all about the blondes for you.
Yes. Yes. Although, and I wish I knew the title of it, Deborah Padgett was an old movie star back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Deborah, and I saw a clip on YouTube from a movie she did in 1959.
Wow.
She's doing the snake dance, blah, 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 blah. However, she's like half naked and she is a hot version of Katy Perry.
Really?
I was watching this clip last night. I'm like, what in the Sam Hill is this? It was like the Indian it's some movie. She's trapped by these cult people in 1959, and she's literally wearing this little. It's like glued over her boobies and glued over her butt crack and her little pubic area. And you're like, this was in the movie theaters in 1959. And I look at her like Deborah Padgett is a hot version of Katy Perry. So the past is always surprising. Oh, we just had a couple people. I was on Twitter. A couple of the big news stories. There's a dude who's a bus driver who listens to the show. Dude, you made it. You made the show. You wanted us to talk about you being a bus driver. You made it.
There you go.
You're in. That's one of the highlights of 2017.
You can come to the Loftus Party Barbecue.
Yeah. Oh, and here's another one from one of our followers, a guy, Joe Dick, wants to talk about Rosemary being rediscovered. We just lost Rosemary a couple of days ago. Well, we didn't lose her. We know where she is. However, she was the lady from the Dick Van Dyke Show.
No, I remember, and I guess Rosemary.
She was a child star. When you watch episodes of the Dick Van Dyke Show, you're like, that lady was at death's door during the tapings.
Well, I think she's like – there was a tweet from her not too long ago that, like, going into the Christmas season, I'm 94 and looking forward to lots of good stuff, and y'all just need to get your chin up and stop being so silly.
Yes.
So
and
she's
I'm,
in her
I'm
90s.
Happy that people – and that, I think that's where I got the Deborah Padgett thing. Katy Perry, Deborah Padgett, Rosemary dead at like 90 something, but she had an amazing career. So yeah, she's one of the celebs that we lost. That's our in memoriam segment.
And,
but I just want to celebrate the interactiveness of it.
So Joe Dick can also come to the barbecue.
You know what? Joe's on the fence. Joe does. Joe's one of those. I have a buddy of mine who's a lawyer, and is always and as I'm not saying Joe Dick's a lawyer. However, that dude, how many mentions did he just get? I'm not going to say his name anymore. He does a lot of contrarian things. If you say, "Ooh, laptops are awesome," he's like, "Well, a real laptop, blah blah blah," and that kind of bores me. Mm-hmm. So watch it, Joe. You don't have to be contrary bear the whole time. Okay. Going on to – oh, my gosh. We got to talk about these.
Oh, and I did wish John a merry – a happy new year on the Facebook page because he, of course, showed up again.
Okay. So, oh,
just
my gosh.
Negative Nancy.
Yeah. It's very easy to beware of the negative. Beware of the dark side. Okay. Here's – we got one from Facebook. Mad Mike Hughes cancels his rocket launch to prove the Earth is flat. This is from the Desert Sun. Somebody on Facebook says that we need to talk about this on the cast. So I'm doing it. This is funny. The flat earthers, like it's a real thing.
They're back?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Okay. So, and this is hilarious. I think some rapper started it. This whole flat earth thing. So they wanted to send a rocket into outer space.
Mm-hmm.
Not even outer space. They wanted to send a rocket up to take a picture of the earth being flat. They wanted to reach an altitude of like 15,000 feet. So they were raising money, getting somebody to go in a rocket, blah, blah, blah. And then someone pointed out to them, "Hey, morons, a plane flies at 30,000 feet and there's windows. Buy a plane ticket."
Oh my God.
So that's the flat earth update from
those. Well, and I suppose from 15,000 feet, the earth might look kind of flat, but you can't see the whole thing.
Yes. And so why raise thousands of dollars and get a rocket permit when you can just hop on a plane?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, someone else just sent us this one. The solar system's first interstellar visitor dazzles scientists. Astronomers, they found an asteroid that zipped through the solar system. This is a NASA story. It's this big, giant asteroid that looks – it's like a cigar-shaped thing. That's way interesting. So, hey, you
kinda
guys –
kind of scary. Thank God it didn't hit us.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And that's one of the other things I'm looking forward to in 2018 – is what's going on with the whole UFO thing. So I want to give a shout out to Will Kelly, Tanya Goodson. Tanya had two stories that made the cast.
Oh,
God
nice.
Bless. Other big things from 2017, I thought the solar eclipse was pretty cool. I actually got outside and took a look at that. That was a lot of fun.
Yep.
Like and you that. Know what I hate? And this mm-hmm. is a great thing. Like you know, we had the glasses and all that stuff. Everyone, the writing staff of the TV show, a lot of the producers, we all went outside. One of the writers, she bought the glasses for everybody.
Oh, how nice.
So your instinct is you go outside, you look up at the sky and you go, okay, there's the sun. Okay. Then you grab the glasses. So that's what I think everyone on planet Earth did. And this is what I can't stand about the media bias. They take these pictures of Donald Trump and Melania coming outside. Trump looks up at the sky and goes, "Yep, there's the sun." And that's the picture they run with. Like, look how stupid the president is. He's going to stare at the eclipse without the glasses. It's like you're going out of your way to mislead me. And that's what drives me crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just to the point where if I read a headline – and it's just – it's too much, right? I just go on by it. I won't even give it a click anymore. Like there was one on CNN today. So you have protests in Iran, right? You have bunches of stuff going on. And we're going to write an op-ed about we think Donald Trump should get a pet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't then care there was if he has a pet. If he doesn't like pets, he shouldn't have one. That's awful.
And like the Washington Post did one recently, like on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, about how Jesus isn't real. Like that's just tacky, man. That's just super tacky.
Oh, no, no, no. Now do Muhammad.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
That's exactly right. If you want to talk about truth and religion, let's see that Muhammad cartoon. Let's see your artist depiction. And then whatever. There's tons of artistic depictions of Muhammad.
Yep.
Tons of them from hundreds of years ago. That's like a relatively new thing. Okay. Continuing on with more stories that just excite me. Tesla. I can't say enough good things about Elon Musk. I want that guy to succeed. That electric roadster he's coming out with, the fastest production car ever made, that's amazing. The new models of the Tesla are amazing. The stuff that he's doing with his rocket company, man, I want this guy to keep succeeding. I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried about the financing of Elon Musk, but I hope he's okay.
He seems like, yeah, he'll be all right.
Well, it's always scary when you start selling cars before the cars are ready. When you do a pre-order thing. Just make the cars and sell them. That's all you have to do, guy.
But we're kind of like living in that, what do you call it, Indiegogo and Kickstarter world now.
Yeah.
Where people are getting a little more used to that.
I hope so. I hope so. I hope his financial house is in order. I hope he's making a lot of money off of his rocket launches. And it's just it's scary. I saw that movie Tucker a long time ago with Jeff. And that's what that guy did. He's like, OK, you purchase a car from me, then I'll make the car and then just give it to you. So it seems janky. Ooh, this is a big story we got to talk about. iPhone. The iPhone 10 and Apple saying, hey, we dial back the performance on old phones.
Not they happy. Admit it.
I'm not happy either. It almost seems it dances right on the border of legit. Like, hey, your older phone, it's got an older battery. So we kind of slow it down to help your battery life. But here's the thing that kills me about it. Just tell me, hey, you know what? Your battery now in your iPhone 6 is probably old. So how about you get a new one? Like, I didn't even know you could replace the battery in an iPhone.
Neither did I.
Yeah. So I guess for the next year, you go into the Apple store, you get like a $29 discount to replace your battery.
And which your I'm battery is what? Like almost as expensive as a phone?
I think the battery's like $50.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not bad at all. I'm totally going to do it. I love my iPhone 6. I got the 6 Plus. I love it.
I think I have the 7. Got?
The 7's a good phone. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I think I have the 7.
You know what? I'm probably going to end up getting a 10, though, for several reasons. But I don't want to spoil the surprise, so I can't talk about what has me very excited about that. Ooh, here's another one. Donald Trump, 3 hurricanes on that guy's watch.
Yep.
3 of them. And America stepped up. The Trump administration, they did their job. The people of Texas and Florida, we all take care of each other. Hopefully, if you were the victim of one of those suckers, you're doing all right. Mm-hmm. Puerto Rico, still a mess.
Yep.
I guess half the people who lost their power still don't have it in Puerto Rico.
Well, I mean, that's because your infrastructure was falling apart.
Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner. So now we're popping the pimple on that. You got to look inward. Why? Why, you guys? It's almost like somebody was wasting your tax dollars. It's almost like your money was being wasted.
If you know, the private corporations in the states had just let the, electrical grid deteriorate to the point of, you know, almost non-performance before the hurricane hit Texas. Then guess what?
Yes.
They probably still wouldn't have power back either.
Right. Exactly.
And thank you, Cheryl Atkinson, one of our favorite journalists, for shining a big old bright light on that.
Cheryl is fantastic.
Yes, she is.
And her show, I think, is doing very well. More markets, more markets, more markets. The whole take a knee thing. Guess what? Here's my comment on that. Yawn.
Yawn.
Yeah.
Made me shut off the NFL, so.
Well, I really didn't. I didn't have time this year to watch a lot, but I'm a Cleveland fan, and the Brownies not doing so good.
After what the Giants did to Eli, I don't know that I'll ever turn it back on. So,
It's it's not good. And like we started off the show with college football. College football is always there. There's a purity to it. There's less games. Every game means more. There's a real sense of team spirit and camaraderie. And it's a wonderful thing.
Yep.
I guess the other big story we should talk about of 2017 is the sexual harassment. It's it continues to go.
Well,
a
bunch of people have gone down, but you know, I read actually a great opinion piece this morning. The Me Too movement itself, first of all, it's led by feckless people like Gillibrand and Nancy Pelosi, who all of a sudden go hem haw when it's one of their colleagues. I don't know where that's going to go, and it's either going to go to a really scary place or it's just going to go away.
Well, I'm glad it kind of slowed down because it was already starting to scare me. It already had like I was getting a serious like pitchfork lit torch vibe.
Well, yeah, then the way Matt Damon was absolutely vilified for saying, "Y'all, we need to like differentiate between a pat on the rear end and rape. Those are two totally different things."
Yes. Yes.
And I agree with Matt Damon. And I'm a girl.
Me too. And yeah, and like Joy Villa or Villa, however you say her name, who's like, "Ooh, Corey Lewandowski swatted me on the butt." Someone has video of Joy Villa doing the exact same thing to a dude.
Yeah,
she's at a wedding reception. Everybody's a little buzzed. There's a guy talking, and she reaches over and smacks him on the butt a couple times. Guy's like, "Yeah, whatever."
If I have raised my daughters in such a way that they can't vocally object to an undesired advance or set limits with people of the opposite sex, then I have failed as a mother.
Yeah.
Someday one of these things that's going to happen to you and you just have to go, "Hey, wait a minute," or
not
"You're
cool.
funny. Not cool." You know?
Yes. Okay. We're going to jump back into In Memoriam here. Tom Petty.
Oh, yeah,
that was a bad one. What's your favorite Tom Petty song?
I actually like the Traveling Wilburys.
Traveling Wilburys, they did a lot of good stuff. Mm-hmm. I like the early Tom Petty stuff, like Damn the Torpedoes. She was an American girl. That guy got a great sound out of his guitar.
And he also had a distinctive voice.
Yeah,
like
a little Bob Dylan to it.
Well, and that's what I kind of liked about the Wilburys, right? Because, I mean, Roy Orbison, you're never going to mistake that. Tom Petty, you're never going to miss. I mean, it just had a bunch of unique vocals in it that I just thought was great.
Okay, I'm just going to go. This is comedians and actors and actresses. Jerry Lewis. Mm. People, you will never, ever, and this is once again, I'm like an armchair student of history, go onto Google and look at the photographs from the 1950s, late 40s, you have no idea how popular Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis were. Like, shut down Times Square. Shut down. They were like Beatles huge. A lot of people, Jerry Lewis is very easy to make fun of, but that dude was really, really a truly gifted comedian. Jerry Lewis in those old movies makes me laugh. It was a little sad when he got full of himself towards the end, but you know what? You're allowed to.
When you have a certain amount of success. Yep.
Yeah. Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, God. I loved that show when I was younger.
Wasn't it great?
It was.
Oh, Lou. You got spunk, kid.
Yeah.
I hate spunk. Oh, my goodness. I'm looking through this list. It's In Memoriam is a drag. Listen to these names. Sam Shepard.
Stop.
Right? What a fantastic dude. And talk about a Renaissance man.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal actor, phenomenal playwright, just a wonderful human being, just a cool looking dude. Greg Allman. Come on. Harry Dean Stanton. Fats Domino. Chuck Berry. Glenn Campbell. Oh, it's making me sad. It's a drag. Roger Moore? What in the Sam Hill? Jonathan Demme, Bill Pack, Don Rickles, my goodness, Hugh Hefner, We lost Hugh Hefner. I follow. I want to explain this to the podcast people, and I'll explain it on Twitter too. I think we're out of time, but this maybe will go a little bit longer. I follow Playboy on Twitter, mm-hmm. and it's amazing. And I also follow Rolling Stone magazine, and it just blows my mind how political those things are. Like, and I can understand like why Rolling Stone and Playboy would both need a reporter to cover politics. However, you look at their tweets and the stories that they promote, it's like politics way outweighs music mm-hmm. in Rolling Stone.
Yep.
It's shocking. And now that Hugh Hefner's gone, and I'm sure his kids were running it for a long time, way more stories about politics than there are like beautiful women, lingerie, or sex positions. It's
now you just don't know where to go for music and sex.
You gotta dance with the girl that brought you. Like, get back to it. And it's too funny. And I will continue to do this. And now you know the why. This show, maybe this is a great way to wrap it up. The Loftus Party podcast, the website, all of the above. There's going to be geek culture. We're totally going to geek out about Star Wars and Marvel and any other geeky thing that gets us. There's going to be politics. There's going to be sex. There's going to be entertainment. It's always amazing to me when I look at the numbers of followers. Then I'll tweet something, you know, I'll do a political one and there'll be something of a geeky nature. And then you'll do like, oh, here's a sex tip or something like that. We always lose a couple of people. Whenever something gets a little bit sexual, we always lose a couple of people. And that makes me so happy because those people were wet blankets and they were dorks. And they were losers. So it makes me happy. I always like to shake them loose. It's like, yes. Like when a dog gets out of the water and it's got like some grass or something stuck to it. And then it just shakes off that's how I feel. Well, that's how I feel.
But I mean, here's the thing they should just understand, right? Just because I want limited government, just because I want to pay lower taxes, just because I want education to come back to the local communities and all of that stuff doesn't mean I'm a prude. And if all you prudes would just figure
out –
that's
who I'm reaching out to.
If all you prudes would just figure out that we're on your side politically, you know, we want smaller government. So we don't have to live by your rules. You don't have to live by ours. But let's get to that place.
That is that's the Michaeltopia of the year right now. That is the great one to end our year in review show. And Michaeltopia, you do what you want. I do what I want. And as long as nobody's hurting one another, we good. But I don't want to live under the iron boot of a socialist party.
No. Or have true social conservatism legislated.
Dig it. Dig that.
I want to dance.
Yes. I want to dance and my boner pants.
Oh, see, there we go. And
you gotta have the boner pants reference in there somewhere.
Somewhere.
Okay. Everybody have a great new year. 2018 is super exciting. Thank you so much. Episode 100. That's big. We're in the triple digits now, Gypsy.
Hey, can only go upward from here.
No, that's just it. It's been going upward. We can continue to go upward.
The trajectory, all signals are boosted. Up and up away we go. Mm-hmm.
All right. Have a good one, everybody. I will talk to you next week. Peace in the Middle East. Which actually might happen now.
Uh-huh.
Bye.